Today we get to pick up in the third sermon of our series where we're focusing on the priorities that we have here at St. Timothy's as a congregation as we look to the year ahead and as we look to the foreseeable future together as a congregation. Pastor Dan opened the series for us, reminding us of our vision, of our mission, of our identity. These serve as the foundation for setting our goals and establishing our priorities. We don't set the priorities based on man-made needs, but where we feel the Lord is leading and guiding us. Resting on our vision, which is to know the Father, grow as disciples of Jesus, and to go with the Spirit, we set three major emphases for this year. These priorities center around loving and growing as disciples, disciples who can make disciples. Secondly, is to work in reaching the next generation, as we see this morning, by having our compliments here with us. And lastly, it's witnessing and serving in Christ's name, the idea of missional engagement. Pastor Dan covered the first priority, and then Pastor Jonna last week covered the second priority of reaching our next generation. Today, we get to focus on the third, on missional engagement, on witnessing and serving in Christ's name. As we think about this priority, our leadership plans to increase opportunities where we can come together as a shared community to go out and serve, where we can increase involvement as a congregation. But I also want to raise you up personally, that we want to raise the bar on your own personal engagement to live out the responsibility that God gives each of us to speak and to share our faith. We're going to challenge you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to equip you in your efforts to witness and to serve others where you live, where you work, where you love, where you serve, anywhere that God brings those into your path in life. In Hebrews 10, as was in one of our readings today, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." In this simple one sentence, in this simple appeal, God asserts and reinforces the focus that he wants us to have in the relationships that come into our lives. He gives us all an essential and fundamental truth. He has called us to be and to do everything based on the relationships he gives us. With this in mind, I'd like to introduce someone who's become a dear friend over the last year, someone who I've grown to admire. He's got an ability where he reaches with his heart to witness and to serve others. And he does this just in his daily walk. And so I'd like to invite Michael Stamos up to share. And I hope that his testimony will serve as an example for each of you to learn and to grow in your own abilities.
So in preparation of giving this testimony, Brian sent me the following quote, "We are called to witness and serve in Christ's name through our everyday life." But how's that work? Right? I used to puzzle over that. And I didn't come up with any good answers. It wasn't that I didn't know what to say to people. It's that it always seemed forced. And I remember taking a class here called Caring Evangelism years ago. The focus of the class was to build relationships and evangelize through those relationships. Sounds good. Sounds scriptural. But I didn't grasp how to get from here to there. And I felt like I was being a salesman. I see some smiles. Can any of you relate to that? Yeah. Yeah. When Brian asked me to give this testimony, he said, "I want you to give a testimony on missional living." The first thought that came to my mind was, how do I do that without sounding like a jerk? Right? Well, look at me, I'm such a good Christian. What's wrong with you? So I want to get this out of the way up front. If any of you leave church today thinking I have something you don't, then I've failed. Because the absolute truth is, and it's not Christian cliche, but that if I have any ability to do something that pleases God or to point others to him, it's because he's enabled that and he empowers that. does that through reading his word and through prayer and through times of deeper reflection on his character, on his awesomeness. And then he does this really cool thing, and he changes you from the inside out. If you're familiar with it, it's John chapter 15. If you're not, I encourage you to read John chapter 15 when you get home. And then when God does a work in you, he does a work through you. And at some point along the discipleship path that we've been on here at St. Timothy's, I don't know, 7 years now, God presented me with an opportunity to get involved as a spiritual mentor at City Team. And you'll be hearing more about spiritual mentoring at City Team from this lectern in a couple weeks, 2 weeks' time. And I encourage you to attend the women's graduation this Friday and bring your kids, age appropriate, but it's an awesome witness to them. And we even have some men from the recovery program here today, here this morning. As a spiritual mentor, we get to be a part of God's, our Savior God, and the work he does. We get a front row seat to see how, well, you know, we meet with these guys and their lives are in crisis. And through sharing God's word, through reading, through scripture, talking about it, praying with each other, we get to see God literally transform their lives, reach down and help pull them up out of the pit. And it's awesome. And it's so good that I had to share it. And so I found myself extending invitations to some of our youth. I think some of you are here this morning. And they accepted the invitation to join me at City Team. And, you know, it's really through, not so much the invitation goes out, not to so that they would necessarily become mentors themselves, right? But so that they would see God firsthand. They would see the work of the Holy Spirit firsthand and would transform from something literal, something abstract that I think many times we hold on to God purely in our minds, but I want them to see it and experience it firsthand so it becomes something that they know how real it is. And of course, it's keeping in alignment with what Pastor Jonah said last week, right? That for youth to not stray from their faith, it takes 4 to 5 people who are not their parents to speak into their lives for Christ. So maybe you're thinking, that sounds great, Michael, but I don't know any young people. I don't have relationships with them. And so I couldn't extend an invite like that. But neither did I. But through just a succession of volunteering for opportunities to serve God where he put things in my path, such as the Mexico to mission trip, such as going out with Pastor Scott and the Mercy Mobile, I've formed relationships with some of our youth, and those relationships were a springboard to an invitation. And so the point, I'm going to wrap it up here. So the point that I'm trying to make, and the point I want you to kind of get from all this, is that missional living is what I've come to realize is not a series of one-off service projects. It's about living the life of a disciple, and then God takes it from there and weaves the threads of your life together to his glory. And so I don't know where things are headed for me or for our church here on out. I don't know what God's plans are for us, but I do know 2 things. It will be at least somewhat unexpected, and it will not be boring. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael, not only for your personal example, but for your ability to raise up others to see what it means to personally witness. Michael and I get to share prayer together quite often, and when we do, I get to hear the stories of not only sharing among those at City Team, but those that he works alongside of his colleagues, and sharing the word with extended family and what that means. And so truly a living example of what it means to be on mission. So as we move into our sermon now, for those of you who thought that as I gave a few minutes up to Michael that the sermon would be any shorter, buckle your seatbelts. We got a lot of meat to cover. So let's take a deeper look. What does this mean, missional engagement? We have three scriptures that I believe God tied together for us very intentionally. The greatest commandment, which I read from Mark, and the great commission, which we've heard before in Matthew 28, and what I call the great compassion, which you heard read earlier today in Isaiah 61. And it's this belief that wherever God calls us, he calls us to live out our daily lives, to love God and to love others. That God leaves no doubt for us that everything in our life matters. It springs forth from our relationships. Anything that matters falls on those relationships, first with him and secondly with those in our lives. Whether it's the lunchroom or the locker room, whether it's the bedroom or the boardroom, regardless of the place where we engage, relationships are where the Lord makes it known that he wants us to move forward as disciples. It's in these connections that we build trust and credibility with one another, that we engage in casual acquaintances, that we embark with our colleagues at work, that we embrace our loved ones at home. We live on mission by bringing his word and his presence in every interaction we have. Since 2012, I've had the blessing to walk alongside two young men, and I want to share a little of that journey with you. Their names are Chris and Mike, and they're now in their late 20s, and they found their way through many life's battles, many of life's struggles. They both became close friends and would even call themselves brothers as they grew up in a foster home environment together. In that environment, they were separated from their families. They were young men who had to live lives overcoming difficult abuse, separation, overwhelming challenges that you and I may or may not have had to face in our own lives. I happened to meet these young men very casually in a service opportunity at our church in Florida. They were there, and I could quickly tell they were searching. They were searching for meaning in their own lives. We began a journey with simple, meaningless conversation, just banter to get to know one another. And then it quickly turned to me inviting them on a Saturday morning to a men's Bible study, to an accountability group. Over the years, Mike and Chris and I have prayed together. We prayed through strongholds that have been holding us back in our lives to live out God's purpose. We have locked arms in difficult circumstances, and we've also had the opportunity to celebrate the blessings that come with life's victories. We've laughed, we've cried, we've spurred one another on through those times. To this day, we still stay connected. We share Bible study, prayer, and accountability. After 6 years, we have spread out geographically. Each of us is now miles apart from the other, one in Maryland, one in Florida, and me here in California. Through these years, we've remained spiritually connected through phone calls, through messaging, through online Bible study. Our current devotional study and our fellowship centers on a book entitled The Trust Protocol. It's by Mac Richard. He's a founding pastor of Lake Hills Church in Austin, Texas. In his book, he shares what this trust protocol means. He says it's simply this: forging credibility with integrity and action. It is deliberately demonstrating our dependability to the people with whom we live, with whom we work, with whom we love, and with whom we serve. When we excel, and especially when we struggle, it's these relationships that have meaning. We need to back up our talk with our walk. We need to be consistent and be the same person that God created us to be, no matter where we are or whom we're with. This, my friends, this is missional living. This is living out the calling that God gave us, every one of us. His commandment, his commission, his compassion. We are called to love God, to love others, to go and make disciples, to reach the brokenhearted, to free those who may be held captive by some of their sin and by the temptations they're facing in today's world. The idea that is presented in the greatest commandment in Mark 12 is that everything in our lives radiates from the relationships that God brings us. Regardless of how we're brought together with each person, we can lean on God and let God be our guide. We can go places in that relationship by letting God speak into us, by being intentional in our interactions, by taking it to his word, by taking it to prayer. We can build powerful community, connection, collaboration. We can begin to disciple. We can extend the relationship that the Lord calls us to anybody he calls us to come alongside. We simply walk together in life. We lock arms in the battles. We rejoice in the blessings. And we move forward in love and in friendship. One of our young women that is being confirmed today shared with us, "I will continue to grow in my faith in many ways. The first is my involvement in the church. I will be volunteering as a crew leader at Vacation Bible School in the summer. I'm going to go to youth group and its activities frequently. I'll be sharing my talents with the church. The second thing I will do to grow my faith is living out the teachings of the Bible. I'll do so by inviting friends to church, following the Ten Commandments, and helping others to do the same. The third is by working on consistently doing my 5 minutes a day with God." Good job, Anna Marie. "This means prayer, reading my Bible once every day. I'm going to continue to grow my faith for the rest of my life." What a great example of what it means to live out the greatest commandment. We must realize that Jesus also gives us the great commission to go and to proclaim the good news, to help new believers to grow spiritually. He gives us marching orders just as he has always done. Christ gives us a missional journey to make disciples simply as we are going, to baptize them by washing over them with his word and in prayer, to teach them to obey everything, to command what he's done by living it out and modeling it in our own lives. Discipleship flows from baptism. And we will see today as we hear our confirmants proclaim the affirmation of their baptism and declare Christ as their Lord and Savior. Throughout our weeks together, getting to walk alongside these young men and young women, we taught them not only what it means to be followers of Christ, but how to surrender their life in obedience to his word. Jesus teaches us a practical holiness. He teaches us how to grow to be more like him in our own life. One of the young men being confirmed shared with us, "Confirmation means saying and proving that you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It also means I will continue to try to go to church, to teach others about God, to pray, and to use God's word and teachings in our day-to-day life to help others. I will continue to go to church weekly. I will talk about God's teachings to others and to help them in their lives, to be kind, to do volunteer work, to donate. I can also pray about others twice a day, and daily I can show people the path to God." What great ways to make the Great Commission a reality. When Jesus was ready to announce himself and his mission, he began with a dramatic quotation of the passage from Isaiah. In Luke 4, we learn that he takes this passage and uses it to launch his ministry. He uses it to basically describe the essence of what that ministry would be. "Because of God's great love, he sent his Son, our Savior, to comfort, to heal, to set his people free, to set us free. He would clothe us, and to those whom he witnessed, he would serve and bring about goodness and salvation." Through his death and his resurrection, Jesus inaugurated the day of salvation, and we are called to share that good news. We are called to go to those who have been alienated from God and help them find peace in Jesus Christ. In Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer shares, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will constantly be crossing our paths and canceling out our plans. He will send us people with various claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with more important tasks. He says, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen to the thieves, perhaps even while reading his Bible. When we do that, we pass a visible sign of the cross that was raised across our path to show us not our way, but God's way. That's what must be done. The purpose of the Lord's comfort to those struggling and suffering is to glorify himself. When a repentant sinner recognizes he can't achieve his own righteousness by works and turns from their sin and calls on the mercy of God, the Lord covers that person with his own divine righteousness by a grace through faith. Many times God allows us to face hopeless circumstances. He's using it to test and to try our own faith. It's the hopelessness that forces us to turn and to seek him. And it's there that we find strength. It's there that we get refreshed. If we give him reign over our hearts and our minds, Christ will take our lives, no matter how bruised, no matter how broken. He will make something beautiful out of them. Isn't that what hope is all about? Beauty for ashes, gladness instead of sorrow, a coat of praise instead of a sense of hopelessness. Another of our young confirmants shared, "For me, growing in my faith isn't just going to church and praying. It's about being a follower outside of church. It's about being kind to others at school, at dance. It's about being helpful, patient, loving." See, missional living, to close us out today, it's a commandment. It's a commission. It's compassion. C.S. Lewis said, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, then all the cathedrals, clergy, mission, sermons, even the Bible itself, are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose." As we leave here today, let's focus on the priorities that God's put before us. Let's live and grow as disciples, disciples who make disciples. Let's work, as Michael shared in his testimony, to reach the next generation. Let's witness and serve in Christ's name, missionally, wherever that may be. Let me reflect back just for a moment on the young men that I was best blessed to walk alongside, Mike and Chris. See, I praise God every day for these spiritually grounded men that they've grown to become. Chris was able to reunite with his birth family, and he was able to go and complete his education, and now lives as an airline mechanic working for Piedmont Airlines. And Mike, after being baptized a few years ago, is moving forward in life. He's got his own family now. He's raising a son. These two men, he overcame battles, led by Christ. And I feel blessed that I was just able to walk and see Christ at work in them. Michael Breen, in his book, Leading Missional Communities, exhorts us, do the small things. Do the small things we see around us with great love, trusting that God will take our small things and all the other small things we don't see, and he'll weave them together, into a beautiful tapestry that announces his love for humanity and calls all people to a new life under God, a God who is making everything new. So let me close. I challenge you and encourage you to witness, to serve others where you live, where you work, where you love, and where you serve in the community. Encourage all of those that God brings into your life. Take the opportunity through our grow groups, through the middle hour and in Bible study fellowships. Equip yourself so that you can begin the journey to touch hearts, to touch minds, to change lives of those around you. As we walk alongside others, we are called to speak truth, but that truth